Yes. Half an hour and so many things to talk about. Oh, there you are, Anthony. I'm apologising to you in public. You're going to hear things you've heard already. Mitzrayim, I'll speak a bit about the Haftarah, which is the last one of the Shuvah and the Chemta, and Rihanna writes incredibly beautiful. Start off by speaking a little bit about where we're up to in the calendar. Mirz Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, coming in next week, and Mirz Hashem coming into the rarest of the 14 years we have. We have 14 different types of year regarding days of the week, 14 types, and the rarest of them is the one called Hei Shin Aleph. I assure you, in it, you won't notice anything particularly, because there's something we do in Hei Shin Aleph that we don't do any other time. There's something we miss out, we don't miss out any other time. But nevertheless, the combination of the things we do in Hei Shin Aleph is the rarest. It happens on average approximately once in every 31 years. Literally. The last time we had one was actually 31 years ago. So we're in Tov Shin Pei Hei we're coming into, and this was Tov Shin Nun Dalet. Right? So that was 1994. 31 years ago, but you could have it, I think 1903 was one, and 1974, and nothing in between. So if you'd lived between 1903 and 1974, you would not have known what Hei Shin Aleph was. So I'm telling you, Be'etz Hashem. Hei Shin Aleph means that Rosh Hashanah is going to be on day Hei, Thursday. Well, that happens quite often.
Yeah.
Right? Aleph means Pesach is going to be on Sunday. Erev Pesach will be on Shabbos. Right? But this happens rarely. On average, Erev Pesach comes on a Shabbos. About 10 times in every 87 years. Right? That's the number to the nearest two figures. I worked it out. So 10 times in 87 years, roughly, we get Erev Pesach being on a Shabbos. And Shin means Shalema. Shin is Shalema, which means Cheshvan and Kislev have both got 30 days in. There's nothing I've just told you that is unusual in itself. It's putting the three together happens more rare than any other one of the 14 years. Interestingly, having Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday, nothing so special about that. Rosh Hashanah on a Hei Shin Aleph is not a leap year. And the other one on a Thursday, Hei Chof Zayin, where Cheshvan and Kislev are 29 and 30, and Zayin means Pesach on a Shabbos. Very nice. Hei Chof Zayin is the most common of all the years. It happens on average twice in every 7 years. That's pretty often. Twice in every 7 years on average. And the other one is once in every 31 years, which is very rare, as we said. This is the one we're coming into. So, what can I tell you that's specifically special about Hei Shin Aleph? Vayakel and Pekudei are split. And it's a normal year, it's not a leap year. Simple rule is, in every leap year, Vayakel and Pekudei are split. Every leap year, no exception. Every ordinary year, you've got Vayakel and Pekudei together. Why are Vayakel and Pekudei together? Because we have when Hillel Hasheni formulated the calendar as we have, the mathematical calendar, until Emiyat Hashem Moshiach comes and the Sanhedrin comes back. And when the Sanhedrin comes back, then all my notes on the calendar that I've written for today can be torn up. That's why I wrote the rest of the Shir on the back of this. The rest of the Shir is on Sefer Yeshayah, and that Chas V'Shalom is Torah Kedoshah. But this is a mathematical point. These are all mathematical points. They won't apply if you tell me, if we hear the shofar while I'm speaking, the Moshiach is here, I will stop where I'm up to at the second. because it won't apply anymore. It'll merely be a historical record. But as we are, this is well what we're doing and how the halakha concerns us. Okay, so we're going to have Vayakal. Why am I telling you Vayakal Pekudah is going to be split? Why is that? Because you've got 12 sidras in Bereishis. You've got 11 sidras in Shamos. That makes 23. And you've got Vayikra and Tzav. So the winter, we call the winter from Sukkot till Pesach. So you've got 25 sidras to fit in. I don't like saying the word sidras, the word is sidoros, but you know, keep the olim happy, speaking the Hebrew that they understand. There are 25 sidras, and the winter itself contains 24 weeks and one day. Now, 24 weeks and one day contains 24 Shabbosos. But if the day it starts is a Shabbos and the day it ends will be a Shabbos, then there are 25. Now, in a leap year, we can't make some Shabbos HaGadol because we've got another 4 weeks. So Shabbos HaGadol will always be with Sola or Achrimos in a leap year. But we have a rule that says that Shabbos HaGadol is always Tzav in an ordinary year, no exception. I said no exception, please don't ask me about exceptions. There aren't any. It's lovely to have your rules that doesn't have any exceptions. So many things have exceptions. So, we've got Tzav is always Shabbos HaGadol in an ordinary year, if it's not a leap year. And since an ordinary year, 24 weeks and one day, if that 24 weeks is Shabbos in the middle of it, there are only 24 Shabbosos. So therefore the Kabbalah we have is to keep Vayakal Pekudah, even though they're relatively long, average length of a Sidra is 106 Psukim. Vayakal and Pekudah together, wow, it's over 200. And yet why do we put the two together? The opinion I have, for what I've seen, is that because Vayakal Pekudah is a repetition of what's given in Truman to Tzav as the Tzivoy. The Tzivoy to Moshe Rabbeinu about building the Mishkan was Truman to Tzav. So Vayakal Pekudah is that it was done. If you look at, you learn Chumash Rashi on Truma, you learn Chumash Rashi on Tzav, when it gets to Vayakal Pekudah, you've got a holiday. Because there's hardly any Rashi on it. Rashi has nothing to explain. He's already explained it in Truman to Tzav. So there may be that they decided to put the two sinners together because there's not so much. You put two sidras, there's not so much Rashi, there's not so much to learn. Whatever. Anyway, so the point is that for this particular year is the only one, an ordinary year, where the first day of the winter, the day after Simchas Torah, is a Shabbos. Shabbos Bereishis, Simchas Torah is on a Friday. So the first day is a Shabbos. The last day of the winter is a Shabbos. Erev Pesach comes on Shabbos. That can happen as well. There are other ways it can happen. It can happen in a leap year, which starts on the Thursday as well, where you can have also, if it's a leap year, but Cheshvan and Kislev are 29 days each, there's 2 days less. So since the extra month, that Arishon, has 4 weeks and 2 days, so the 2 days cancel out with each other, and you have the same thing. So you have Pesach being on a Sunday, and you have Simchas Torah being on a Friday, but it's because it's a leap year, it's not a problem. Because anyway, you're not going to have Vayakal Pekudah together. All right? So this is Vayishanav, where we're coming into now. What else have we got at Erev Pesach on Shabbos, which you know all the points we do on Erev Pesach on Shabbos, so you've got to have, I like to say, it's the only day in the Jewish calendar where there is a din to eat bread. You want to eat matzah their whole life with pleasure. The only day you can't eat matzah is Erev Pesach. There's the din midrabon, you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach because you want to have an appetite for eating it on Seder night. But every other day, every Shabbos, you want to eat matzah? Lechem Mishnah, have matzah your whole life with pleasure. There's only one day in the year you're not allowed to eat matzah, it's Erev Pesach. So what's the problem? Today's a Tuesday. Where do I have to eat bread on a Tuesday? Right? If I don't want bread today, I won't have bread today. What's the problem? But Shabbos, you've got to have Lechem Mishnah, you've got to have Lechem. So therefore, if Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, there's a din to eat bread. There's no other way you can do it. You can't do it with matzah, you have to have bread. It's the only time the bread has to be eaten. So we've got a day, you can't have matzah, you've got to eat bread. It comes on Shabbos because of that. How often does Erev Pesach come on Shabbos? I told you 10 times in 87 years to the nearest number. And that's what we call a rare year. We call it a rare year. It's rare. got four types of year. Work with Yom Kippur. The whole year is based on the day Rosh Hashanah is going to be. We work out in advance when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, and therefore we go back to Purim and go forward to, well, go for, if you know where Rosh Hashanah is going to be, you go forward to the end of Sukkot. Essentially, all the days we need to know, the days of the week, will come between. So you work where Rosh Hashanah is, go back to Purim, and go forward to the end of Sukkot. And you've got all those dates will come in the calendar based on one thing, what day of the week Rosh Hashanah is, and that's a simple calculation to work out. All right? So, what else do we have as a result of that? So, Yom Kippur, give you four numbers to remember. Four numbers are approximate, they're to the nearest number. They are really fractions, but to the nearest number. Remember these four numbers, 31, 35, 36, and 87. 31, 35, 36, 87. Yom Kippur comes on a Shabbos this year. That's the most common Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes on a Shabbos 10 times in 31 years. Yom Kippur, next one is Monday, 10 times in 35 years. Next one's Wednesday, 10 times in 36 years. And then there's Thursday, next year will be Thursday. Mitzvah Moshech is here, whatever I'm telling you is a load of rubbish. Just remember that. We are Mispanel every day, a Semach Lo'idam Etochot. We want Moshech to be here. The whole of what I'm telling you, you can cross out and throw it away. It's not even Shemus. Right? So consequently, just remember those numbers. For Yom Kippur to be on a Shabbos is 10 in 31, on a Monday is 10 in 35, on a Wednesday is 10 in 36, and on a Thursday is 10 in 87. Okay? Add up those fractions, you'll get almost one. I told you, they're all approximate, but add up. You know, do fractions. Everybody knows fractions nowadays. 10 over 31 plus 10 over 35, 10 over 36, 10 over 87, you'll find they add up to one. Right? Good. Back to the Haftarah. Lovely. Told you about the year. So, Osis Vashem Togel Nafshi Ve'elokai. This Haftarah, the last one of the seven. Shivat and Achemta, Shivat and Chamosa. Different opinions what the word actually is. The seven consolation ones. And we'll see, in this particular Haftarah by Yeshaya HaNovi, we get a piece of advice. A piece of advice that he tells us, which is an incredible piece of advice. And all we have to do is take Yeshaya HaNovi's advice seriously, and Mitzvah Moshiach will be here. So, Sos Osis Vashem, double Loshen, Sos Osis, I will be extremely happy. Extremely happy with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Sos Osis Vashem, and Togel Nafshi Belokai, and my soul will be glad with my God. Elokai is Loshen Mishpot. Hashem Yudkei Vovkei is Loshen Rachamim. So, Sos Osis is referring to the which part of the body. So we talk about two parts of the body here. We talk about the guf and the neshama. So the which Rabbi Yosef Kimchi was in Mishpoch, I think the father of the Radak, speaks about it, and he says that Sos Osis is referring to Midas HaRachamim, Hashem is the Midas HaRachamim, and the guf and the neshama both are happy with the Rabbeinu Shalom's Rachamim. Because the guf needs rachamim, and the nefesh, the neshama needs rachamim, we all parts of us need rachamim. But togel nafshi belokai, elokai is mishpot. The guf can't take too much mishpot. We're in golus, all the suffering we've had. All the suffering we've had since golus started. We can't take it, but our nefesh can. And our neshama can, and our neshama improves with it. After 120 years, the nefesh, the neshama, says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, why didn't you give me more mishpot? It helped me so much. Every time I got mishpot, I became a better person. I needed the mishpot. Thank you very much. But the guf is crying. The guf can't take it. So therefore, Belokai, Togel Nafshi Belokai, is the Elokai in the mishpot of Hashem, the nefesh is going to be happy about it. But the guf, unfortunately, doesn't find it easy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the big day yesha, clothes of salvation to wear, a meal tzedoko, we're like a chosan, like a kohen, like a kalo, all these wonderful things. And there's this possibly, it means a chosan brings a kalo. There is a minhag, used to be the sefer, the suin kel chosan. I looked at this about this Sos Osis. A minhag, there certainly is, haven't seen it, and there was a minhag that whenever there was an ofruf, then they would do the Sos Osis, or something, not an Oprah, but the Shabbos Chosen, the Shabbos of the Sheva Brachos, when the Chosen was in Shul, they would do the Haftorah. Instead of the normal Haftorah, they would do this Haftorah, the Nitzavim Haftorah. The Nitzavim Haftorah is what they would do. Yeah? I didn't tell you, by the way, about Nitzavim Haftorah itself. Nitzavim is always the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Nitzavim, the Sidra Nitzavim is the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, no exception. I told you, I love rules that don't have exceptions. No exception. Nitzavim comes before. What about Vayelech? So we've got a few words that were put in. The Tiferes Yisrael brings these words where it says, there's a pasuk in Daniel talking about the food that the Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, they were captured, they were brought up in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, they were trained to be his elite servants, and they had to be given special trefa food. Well, obviously, they didn't want the tray for food. On the other hand, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't somebody you could talk in a friendly way to and tell him, excuse me, do you mind if I have a different menu? So, they asked nicely the Meltzer, the person in charge, that could we have different food, could we have vegetables? And he agreed to try them out for a few days, I think 10 days. And they had a vegetable diet and they were very, very happy. They were only too happy, their bodies were happy, they were working just as hard, they were just as clever, and so he accepted it, and nobody got into trouble. They managed to stay off the chaza, and they managed to stay off the wine of the Nebuchadnezzar, and they had vegetables instead, they had a vegetarian diet. It says there, paspag hamelech. That's a word, paspag. Pei, sof, beis, gil. Pei, paspag hamelech, they didn't want to have the meat, the food, the menu of the king. This word paspag is an Aramaic word. It's not a word in Hebrew. It's spelt in Hebrew. But paspag hamelech is used as a simon. Bag hamelech pas vayelech. Take pas and bag and split it. Bag hamelech, hamelech. When is hamelech? Hamelech! Rosh Hashanah. If bag hamelech, if Rosh Hashanah is on base or gimel Monday or Tuesday, then pas vayelech, split vayelech from Nitzavim. The Zohar HaKadosh says there are 53 sidras in the Torah. I'm sorry, my Chumash has got 54. But Zohar HaKadosh knows a bit more. The Zohar HaKadosh has only 53. Nitzavim vayelech are one sidra. For whatever reason, Chazal decided to split it. Mikar Adin, you only need 21 psukim. Mishnah Megillah, you call up seven people, three psukim each. Two Mishnahs and Megillah put together. That's all you need. Shabbos morning, they didn't have it in a year. They did 5 years, 3.5 years, 3 years. Different minhagim of how to do it, how to split the Torah. So by Nisavim Vayelech, most of the time is together. Most of the time we put it together, but that's when Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday this year, when Rosh Hashanah is on a Shabbos, then from Nisavim onwards, there are two Shabbos left till Sukkot. So those two will be Vayelech and Ha'azinu. But on the other hand, when there's only one Shabbos, either Rosh Hashanah's on Shabbos or Yom Kippur's on Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are on Shabbos, there's only one Shabbos left. In which case you put Vayelech in its real place, which is with its Ovid. So what we're doing is the real thing. It's on Vayelech, really, is one Sidra. So we put the two together, and then the next week that we have, that's the next Shabbos, will be Ha'azinu. And between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, there's no Shabbos there. Yom Kippur itself is on Shabbos. So that's Bag HaMelech. If HaMelech, if the day of Rosh Hashanah is Beis or Gimel, Monday or Tuesday, then Pas Vayelech, cut off Vayelech from Nitzavim and put it separately. So Nitzavim is always a Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah. So we're saying here, the beautiful things about it, Chosen and Kalah, there was a minhag, Nisun Kalah Chosen brings that al pi halacha, we don't, that Ashkenazim never do it. Ashkenazim. So it's more Sephardim did it, Nusach Sfad, and the Hasidim sometimes did it. So different minhagim, you go and find out what they do. But in general, it's still brought down that the special Haftoros cannot be played around with. Arba Parshios, Rosh Chodesh, all the special ones that we do, Chanukah, they can't be. So even there's a chosan in Shul, you can't remove the Haftorah. You can't go around taking the rain. Let's imagine a chosan in Parsha Zohar. You can't remove Parsha Zohar, the Haftorah Parsha Zohar, because of the chosan. So in other words, an ordinary Shabbos, you can take it away and replace it. The Ashkenazim don't do it. They do the main Haftorah anyway. Good.
No.
So,
why does one do it?
Why does one do it? Because it's talking about Chosen and Kalah. That's the reason. So Kicha Oris Sotit Simcha. Pasuk carries on, for like the earth which brings out the plants, Kochgano like a garden, Zeiru El Satzmiach, the seeds that they sprout, so Hashem will sprout Tzedakah and Tehillah, Neged Kol HaGoyim, in front of all the Goyim. They will all see what's going to happen, that every nation in the world will see. The Radak says that seeds disintegrate, and once they're disintegrated in the ground, then they grow. They get bigger and bigger. When the Geula comes, we will be bigger than we ever were. What we were in our history, we will grow in size, in number of people, in amount of prestige, amount of power. The Goyim will see it, and believe it or not, they'll be happy. They neged kol ha-goyim. Immediately the Goyim who are still around will be scared. But then when they see what Mashiach means, they see what the Ribbono Shel Olam coming to the world, the covenant of Kibbutz Shamayim, the Goyim will be happy. They'll see that this is the right way that we should all be living. And they'll be happy. It doesn't mean they'll become Jewish. Anybody who becomes a Ger Tzedek before Mashiach comes, they'll be a Ger Tzedek. After Mashiach, it'll be too late. But they'll be happy to be seeing what having to come to Israel, and they will want to help to lead Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim will do the best they can to pave the roads. They'll make easy roads for Jewish people to come back to Eretz Yisrael. They'll do lots of things for us. And the Pasuk says, Leman Tzion Eyech Echashem. For the sake of Tzion, I will not be quiet. Uleman Yushlaim Lo Eshkot. For the sake of Yerushalayim, I will not be silent. Who's the I? Yeshaya Novi speaking. Who is he talking about? I will not. So, Rashi says, talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is going to take revenge on the bad Goyim for what they have done to us, what they have done to Yerushalayim. What they have done to destroy Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will do something to them because of that. That's how Rashi learned Pshat. Ibn Ezra says that Klal Yisrael is saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please rebuild Yerushalayim. We are asking you to do so. That's Lo Eshko. I will not be silent until the tzedakah, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu's righteousness, or the righteousness of Yerushalayim comes out, the Yeshua of Yerushalayim comes out brightly, so the world will see it in the same way as you see a light. It makes the room, it's bright. Let's turn the lights off. Let's try and have the same share. It's not the same thing. So it's going to be Yerushalayim will shine. So everybody in the world will see Yerushalayim. Ablayin hora. We have the technology. If every single guy in the world with his smartphone take away all the rubbish, and every guy in the world will look at his smartphone and see the Beis HaMikdash there and see it shining. They'll have every single person. It won't be a question of reading about it in the newspapers even. They'll be able to see themselves the light coming from. When you have so, the whole place, the world will be a place of tahara, of purity. And the Ro Goyim, Tzidkei for the Goyim will see our righteousness, what we've done right. And the covered, the Melochim, the leaders of all the nations, will see the covered of us, Klal Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. And they'll give us a new name. A new name will be given. Interesting, the Radak says the new name is in the Pasuk, Chetzivah. Chetzivo, my desire is in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows, this is mine, I like it. Lehavdel el alfa havdolos. A person's got a brand new car. It's a beautiful car. He's proud of it. He likes it. He loves it. He gives people lifts in it. You see he's happy with it. If that is what a human being can show, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to show the whole world? How he likes Yerushalayim. So there will be a whole ruach in the world of this is the Ribbono Shel Olam's favorite city. That doesn't mean that he doesn't like anywhere else, but it shows that he does like Yerushalayim, and the world will see that. So this is the Chetzivah. It's interesting, I haven't got an answer. The last pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel says that the name of Yerushalayim will be, and the name given is in the pasuk, literally the last two words of Sefer Yechezkel is Hashem Shoma, Yudke Vovke, Shoma. That will be the name. That will be the name of the place. So Chetzivah is given here in Yeshaya, and Hashem Shoma is given in Sefer Yechezkel. Right, then it says, Targum Yonason says that Ovdei Ra'usi is what the Yerushalayim will be called, Ovdei Ra'usi Ba. It'll be a city where people do what Hashem wants. That's the Chetzibah. What's Hashem going to do? He's going to put people in Yerushalayim that we can all do what he wants. And when we do it, we're doing it with our own Bechira, we're doing it because we want to do it, and the world will see this city is full of people doing the Ratzon Hashem, living the Ratzon Hashem. That's the Targum Yonason there. Of the Usiba. They do what Hashem wants. That was what's going to happen. And then the Pasuk says, Ki yibol bochor basula, yivoluch bonoyich. As a young man marries a young woman, so this is how the children of Yerushalayim will come back, will become the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Klal Yisrael will marry each other together. We say this in Lechododi, Rabbi Shlomo Malkovitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, put this down in Lechododi, which we all say, that Yossi Solaich Elokoyach, it comes from the Haftarah this week, is that as the Chosan rejoices over a Kalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rejoice over us. And the Mephoshim say here, that who the Radak says, that this going to be a normal marriage, a young marriage, the Malbim adds the point, that really, we were divorced. HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out. We had a Churban Bayis, we were sent into Golos. Mamash is a Gerushin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divorced us. And when a Gerushin, you got a husband and wife who've been divorced, come back together again. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, they're getting remarried, but it's not the same. It's not the same as the first time. There's still negative points in them. There's negative points. They can remember the bad points. It's Malbim says, no. There will be no bad points when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us back together. Brings the Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. It'll be a refreshed, new marriage. No bad points. All the slate's been wiped clean. We're starting again. That's what it's going to be. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu will see it as a chosen and a kalah. It's not when it all went to go back and start. No, it's going to be starting with the first time. Then I want to just, to the last two psukim, we've got a couple of minutes. It says, on Al Chomusayich Yerushalayim, on your walls Yerushalayim, Hifkati Shomrim. I've set up Shomrim, guards. Kol hayom v'chol halayla tomid. All night, all day and all night, tomid forever. Lo yechashu, they will not be silent. Hamazkirim es Hashem, you people who mazkir, who remind the Rabbono Shel Olam, the ones who remind Hashem about what he has to do for us, what he has to do for Yerushalayim, al domi lochem, do not stay silent. So they say here, that what's happening, who are the Shomrim? Well, different Mephoshim and who the Shomrim actually are. The Radak says, the Avele Tzion, Klal Yisrael, the serious members of Klal Yisrael who are Avele Tzion, when they say Tikkun Chatzos, the people who, when we daven, we think of Yerushalayim every single day. There's no exception to it. We don't say Yerushalayim Mirachot and Es Tzemach on Shabbos, but we do say Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu. We say Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single Amidah we say, not an exception, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring the Avodah back to the Beis HaMikdosh. So this, the Mazkirim Es Hashem, the Shomrim, remind Hashem. And Yishayahu HaNovi says, Al Domi Lochem, don't be silent, don't stop davening. Val Titanu Domi Lo, this incredible phrase, do not give HaKadosh Baruch Hu any rest. Don't give the Rabbon Shalom any rest. What's going on here? Rabosai, you want your wife to make you a nice supper, so you give her a bunch of flowers. Right? Buy her something. Take her out. Do something nice for her. Maybe she'll be nice to you. Does the Rabbon Shalom need buttering up? Does the Rabbon Shalom need flattering? The Rabbon Shalom, what does the Rabbon Shalom want from us? He wants sincerity. He wants honesty. He wants us to mean. He wants us to empathize with the problem. When we are davening for some problem, it's not a question of, oh, there's a problem. Something, Rachman Litzan, has happened somewhere else. Take a matilim, rattle off the words, done my job, and get back to work. That's not the way. That's not what we're meant to be doing. What does it mean, al domi lochem, and al titru domi lo? Don't give the Rabbon Shalom any rest. Tell me, if you wanted to have a particular thing for supper, and you think that the way to get it from your wife is by saying it non-stop, I want this, I want this. You heard me? I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. It's the way to put her off. But with the Rabbeinu Shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to empathize. Whatever the problem is, he wants us to feel it. Yes? And whereas your wife might feel that you really want that for supper, she's going to get fed up with the fact you keep going on about it. The Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't get fed up. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to empathize with the problem, to feel the problem. In Rachman Litzlan, we're asked to say Tehillim for somebody, to take out the Tehillim, to say the words and think about what the words mean. It's like everything. Slichas, I tell people about Slichas. If you go to rattle off Slichas and you don't know what the words mean, please don't do it. Take one of the Slichas, any one, the Pizmon's probably the best. But take one of the Slichas for each day and go over that one in advance. Go through it till you know what the words mean. I used to have a chavrusa that I would do this with each year, to go through one of the Slichas for each that we're trying to do, to understand what it's about, what it's saying, so that when you say the words, you think about what it means. You don't need to say all the Slichas. You say the Shlosh Esrei Midos. That one has to say, one has to understand what one is saying. But take one of the Slichas and think about what the words mean. That's the idea of empathizing. The Rabbeinu Shalom is not impressed by the number of words we can rattle off. He is impressed by the fact that we take one of them seriously and think about it and mean what we are saying. That is the principle of Domi Lochem. Val Titnu Domi Lo, don't give Hashem any rest. Sets up and he makes Yerushalayim a praise the whole world will see. Imyetz Hashem, Shotov Mitzlachas.